Love Talk Radio.
All right, no more Adam Lee, no more Adam Lee. Come on, come on, come on. Big fuck, stop. Oh, get all that in your head. Look out, here's the deuce. Today, these two brands are going after high stakes, but they'll have to avoid the Adam Lee as they play the most anticlimactic game of their lives. From Internet City in cyberspace, it's time to press your luck. And now, here's your host, the star of NAWC Press Your Luck, Robert Q. Seidelman.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody, to the North American Wrestling Connection, the radio show that makes more sense than the Glenn Beck Show. And that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Let's meet the four whammy busters on the panel this week. We have the Brooklyn Brawler himself, Jason Block.
My ears are still ringing from the first Fozzy show in 5 years in New York City. And yes, Chris Jericho is a hypocrite because he was an absolute doofus and he really kicked ass.
Then we have the New Jersey Jedi himself, Jim Williams.
You know, after the recent news of today, I have the sick image of Tony Atlas cuddled up with a blanket, looking at a poster of Abraham Washington and listening to Michael Bolden's How Am I Supposed to Live Without You?
Very good.
I'll miss you, Tony.
And then, could this be, is this DJ on the line?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back after, what's it been, like a year since you last came on the show?
Yeah, I've been pretty busy with law school and everything, so taking a study break from exams and called in. So.
And then we have
an awkward pause. Yeah.
Sorry. Mom just...
Hi, guys!
That's
hi, Mrs. Seidelman.
And then we have the Columbus Crusher, Nikki Haman.
That's my baby girl!
I am absolutely flattered. I'm not looking to be adopted at this time unless you have a lot of money.
Hopefully I will in the next 45 minutes with the Mega Millions, but we'll see.
And then
if you hear someone
finally,
shriek, then yeah.
And then we have the Thibodeau Thrasher, Carl Chenier.
Welcome to Fail Friday here on the NAWC. It's going to be so wild. Oh, hi. How are y'all doing?
You know, we'd like to talk about the draft now, but first. Sorry, wrong one. Breaking news coming out of TNA on their official website. Bubba the Love Sponge gets hit. They play a game of... Bubba the Love Sponge plays a game of pressure luck, and, this happens. Where the hell is the board sound? I know I uploaded it on here. Screw it, I'll just play the whammy.
Arrivederci,
and he's
You.
Or in wrestling terms.
Yeah. He gone.
Yeah. Rob. Yeah.
And we rejoice.
Now, it was. What happened? What did you do?
Excuse me. Are we sure that this isn't a work, though?
No, it's real life. TNA said on their official website they have terminated the services of Bubba the Love Stooge. Why, you ask? Because a couple days ago, Amazing Kong was on a radio show with Cowhead, another disc jockey who I don't really give a shit about.
It's such a wild name.
It's about
Cowhead. How you doing, everybody? Boo boo.
Man Cow in the morning is calling his trademark lawyer.
Yes.
But what happened was, Awesome Kong was doing an interview, but Bubba the Love Sponge decided to call an unbehest to anybody and cuts this scathing, really horrible stuff on Kong. He even said he would fight her in a sanctioned match and put $5,000 of his own money. Kong went berserk.
Thank you for not saying she went ape.
Yeah, exactly.
Because only Kong can.
Yes.
I elected not to go for the cheap joke.
That's my job.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Well, I for one, am glad that Bubba the Love Sponge is gone because he had heat, but not the kind of heat that you want. He had X-Pac heat. That means go away.
Yes.
And I'm glad that he's gone because he didn't add anything as a backstage interviewer. He didn't really add anything as a part of the band. He was just
he took away, if anything.
Exactly. And
he's a Hogan crony.
Which is very interesting. And Nikki, you and I were discussing this, the fact that he was being politically incorrect, because the first time he got heat, the reason why he and Awesome Kong, for those who don't remember, okay, right after the Haiti earthquake, Bubba the Love Sponge basically said that, you know, in a very politically incorrect way, that people should not donate to the Haitian people and the Haitian Earthquake Relief Fund, because we, as taxpayers, have already donated via foreign aid, but in the way he said it, he said, fuck Haiti. Excuse my language. Okay?
No, French.
No, it's an M-rated show, Jason. Go ahead. You know, nobody gives a fuck if you say fuck.
Yeah, but that's what he said on his Twitter. Twit. Yeah. My brain is still brain. So then, a few days later, when Awesome Kong and Bubba came to the studios together, Kong kicked the crap out of him, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sent home for a few days, if I remember correctly. And they were separated, but Bubba never really recovered from that back there.
I'll tell you what, Jason. I think TNA is culpable in this whole thing too, because then they used this whole incident with Kong and Bubba the Love Sponge as an excuse to kind of let Kong's contract expire, instead of what the excuse would have been is that they were cutting costs and they were refocusing their efforts towards Jeff Hardy and Rob Van Dam. And it's evidence now with Tara and her contract and those discussions. I'm not going to get into those in case you're getting into it later. But they kind of used that whole deal with her spat with Bubba the Love Sponge as an excuse to remove her from the TNA roster. And I don't know if that's a good thing to do for business.
Mm-mm.
No.
And now that Bubba's gone.
Let Nikki get in there for a sec. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Wait a minute, DJ. Kong, after the whole Haiti incident with Bubba, went and asked for her release.
Is that true? I didn't see that part. Because I heard that she was in negotiations at the time of that, and then that they used that. She gave him like an ultimatum, either I go or Bubba goes or something like that.
Well, here's the thing. She also commented on the amount of money she was getting. This is around the new time you forget when Christy Hemme got her new contract.
And Kong, per her Twitter, said, and I quote, I have asked for and received my release from TNA. So
okay.
It was essentially, you know, I'm not going to put up with this shit. You know, if you think that Bubba the Love Stooge is more valuable to this company than I am, then keep your stooge. I'm going to go make some money. And she could do that in Japan. Now, there's a false rumor going around that Bubba or somebody at TNA called WWE and said, don't hire her because she'll beat up your people. So I'm going to squash that one right away. Not true.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Twitter, there was a tweet that I saw from one Stone Cold Steve Austin who endorsed, he said WWE would be stupid not to sign off from Kong.
Yep.
With her mind, she was absolutely speechless.
And let me just tell you something. I put it to you this way. It would not surprise me if one awesome or amazing Kong debuts at SummerSlam this year. Don't doubt me on this one. She's going to be signed by WWE, and she's going to be made into a monster. Vince knows this. It's what the
divas need. It's what the women's division in WWE needs desperately.
Yes.
How often they decide to treat her like
Kong be?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the thing that Kong knows, she knows that people of her, you know, body stature, if you're a woman, she knows what could happen. Anybody remember Bertha Faye?
Of course.
Ugh.
But again, why you're comparing Bertha Faye to Awesome Kong is beyond me.
Let me explain. Rhonda Singh, the person who played Bertha Faye, in Japan, is like Kong today in the U.S. That is where Vince got Rhonda or Bertha. She was devastating. She killed people. Well, figuratively, not literally. And when she came to WWE, she couldn't do her moves. The moves that made her famous. So they paraded her out in polka dots and horrible colors and put Harvey Whippleman with her as her lover. And remember that horrible theme song?
Okay. You're out of your mind, Robert. Seriously. Your argument makes zero sense. If you think that Awesome Kong is going to lose her shape and lose her muscle within the few months, you're out of your mind. Seriously. Awesome Kong is going to be a monster. She's probably, you know, I don't see this. I don't see this.
I think Rob's concern is not so much that as it is how they treat her, how they work her into the WWE in the Bertha Faye. I'm not trying to defend Rob. I'm just saying that's, I think, where he's coming from. Kind of bastardizing what she can and cannot do.
In the guest host era, they might be more likely to, instead of featuring her in good quality women's matches on television, if there is such a thing anymore, that there's not in the WWE, but, I mean, they'd put her in skits with Hornswoggle and Santina before they'd put her in matches with Gail Kim and Beth Phoenix and Michelle McCool.
I don't see that at all. I see them doing the exact right thing by her. I hope
they do.
I would hope Vince is not that stupid, but then again, they've had big acquisitions into the company. Look what they're doing with Danielson. I mean, he's been made to look like a fool.
We'll talk about that later.
No.
We need to move on.
Okay.
We need to move on. It's time.
Probably the best idea.
Time to roll the board.
Gladly.
And it's time for the draft. But before we do that, we have two whammies we got. We have two sound effects we got to play. Last week we talked about Mickie James. On Raw, during the first draft match between Michelle McCool, actually Simply Flawless versus Eve Torres and Maryse, a chant broke out.
We want Mickie!
We want Mickie! So, in honor of that, this gets played.
Oh.
Oh.
Very good.
Well played.
And remember last week we talked about Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, yeah.
Asshole. Oh, all right.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
More on this Monday night, by the way. Anyway.
Huh?
More on this Monday night, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Carl with his report card.
I'm going to skip the report card for this week, guys.
Okay, good enough. That's been Carl's report card.
Fight me, asshole.
Woo!
No, I didn't have time to do it this week, honestly. I've been so busy.
It's all good.
So now let's talk turkey here for a second. The first draft pick was Kelly Kelly to SmackDown.
Somewhere Jerry Lawler weeps.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was all right. No, I had no problem with that.
No, he still got the Bella Twins. I mean, they're a third his age, so it's perfect.
No, you...
I mean, combined, they're still a third his age.
Yeah, I got it.
Pretty much.
It's a fourth of his age now.
Mm-hmm. So, we had CM Punk versus Evan Bourne. Oh!
Great match, by the way.
Before that, I forgot one thing.
Yeah.
The tag team match.
Probably best match of the night.
Yeah, Show Miz versus the Hart Dynasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The crowd was so hot for that match. It was unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. With the promo leading into it.
Yeah.
We had a mountain
line of the night goes
right.
Like this. I could say whatever I want. I will say that Show Miz is the greatest tag team of all time. I will also say that the Mountie is the greatest Aaron Continental champion of all time.
Mm-hmm.
That was genius.
I also
mm-hmm.
say that David Arquette is the greatest world champion of all time.
Bingo!
I could say whatever I want. I could say that the Miz.
You know
the
that's
going to
be an open
idiot.
Soon.
That was something I was supposed to do for tonight, but again, I didn't have time.
Jim, can you whip that up as an intro for next week?
I can work on. Well, you have a few others that I think are just as good to work with, but okay, yes.
Yes, on the game show theme, Jim Caldwell.
All right.
Good joke. But at the end of the match, Miz was unhappy. Show got pissed. Rolled the board and.
It broke his face, pretty much.
Pretty much, as they lost the tag titles.
He took
yep.
a stiff shot.
Yeah.
And then we had CM Punk. We'll go to CM Punk versus Evan Bourne. Great match. Punk wins.
That was awesome. Great match.
Yes.
Bourne stole the GTS like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
Like a champ, yeah.
Like a man who knows how to sell.
And then we have... Well, it's the Big Show.
Completing the face turn.
Yes, and which, by the way, the face turn was completed tonight on SmackDown.
Yeah, I saw that. I apologize, yes.
Where
they telegraphed that to a mile away.
Jericho felt the whammy.
Oh, no.
Oh,
and they telegraphed his pick to SmackDown, too, after the whole punching Miz in the face deal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then we had the Battle Royal.
Yes.
Which was won by 5 Raw guys versus 5 SmackDown guys. And thank the Lord,
Drew McSnore. Get it right.
Drew, who looks pretty damn awesome in no shirt and jeans.
Yeah. Oh, good grief.
Yeah, don't give her the oh good grief.
I understand, I'm just saying.
I got 8 good reasons to look at him tonight when he kicked the shit out of Matt Hardy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, fair enough.
Hey, Nikki, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Can you ever, because I know you were at Detroit draft day, can you ever remember a WWE draft where they've had on a Battle Royal this early in the show?
I can't recall, but this one was pretty small. All told, usually they have a lot more people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole joke at the end with Ted Jr. and Santino.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was great.
I was gonna do the Italian whammy, but I figured that'd be too racist.
Oh please.
Send
your hate mail to Rob Solomon, care of the NAWC.
Yes.
Yes. Matt Allen wouldn't mind it.
That's a spicy meatball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's
like freaking Mario, so go ahead.
Yeah, Santino was great because he's like, he's sitting out in the back the whole match, and he's like, I won, Dream Street.
We got
the air trumpet, which was awesome.
Yeah.
The air trombone, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, someone's got to say it. Someone's got to say this.
Yes.
He should have been the one that got the Future Endeavors. I'm sorry.
Who?
No.
Santino?
Yeah, they're making him look like a complete jackass every time.
Your point is, that's the point.
That's his job. That's his role.
He's comic relief.
And you know what? Some people are needed to be comic relief. He loves doing comic relief. I have no problem with this.
Yeah, we already
got
Hornswoggle
for that.
What?
We already got Hornswoggle for that.
Meh.
That's
true.
For the people that are 10 and under.
You ask because it sounds like most of the IWC would like to see Hornswoggle shot out of a cannon.
No, yeah, they'd like to see him get choked out to death by Dolph Ziggler every week.
Yeah,
I'd pay to see him come out of a T-shirt cannon and like hit a pole or something. There you go. That'd be fun.
So, that's another discussion for another day. Yeah.
Let's move on. We need to move on. The 3 draft picks awarded to Raw were John Morrison.
Yay.
R-Truth.
And
Edge.
Yay.
This was the draft pick that basically showed me that Vince is scared of TNA.
Bullshit.
Nope. How?
No, Jason, no.
Oh, really?
For TNA Impact this past Monday, number one. Number two, he's getting all of his big guys to a show that people actually see.
Go ahead.
Is my network TV slowly going down the toilet? Why should he waste money with
this? It's not a network. It's a syndication service.
That's the reason why. Mm-hmm.
And plus, they can always build up SmackDown closer to the move to Sci-Fi Network. They can make up storylines like big name guys on Raw, their contracts are expiring, so they can move via free agency, or they can work out a trade around that. They'll beef up SmackDown when they move to Sci-Fi. I'm not concerned about that. But they needed for the summer run to SummerSlam. They needed to make Raw the main show.
You know, as has been mentioned enough times, they're gearing up also a little bit early for football season coming up. You got to have some big talent on the big show to compete with Monday Night Football.
Exactly.
Or can they come now? Honestly. Jeez.
Because we have the greatest sport in the world, the NHL, and their playoffs. Go Pens.
Well, best playoffs. Jason, all right. Why do you say this is a move that Vince sees as a threat? You know, we got to do something against TNA now. Why do you say that?
I'll tell you why. Because I do not like the theory, which Nikki and I discussed this week, that SmackDown at this moment in time has become the feeder show now, which ECW was up until ECW became NXT. And because I like when SmackDown and Raw are more balanced. I don't like the fact that Raw basically has the image of being the flagship, and that SmackDown now is the legitimate second tier show.
It also doesn't help when you get to the supplemental draft or the draft pick later on for.
Which we'll get to later, but I'm just saying.
We'll get to it now.
In a perfect world, my argument, Jason, though, is in a perfect world, that would be true. You would like them to be more even. If this was on a network broadcast channel, and it's on Thursday nights, and it's on live, and they're pulling in a 3 rating equal to Raw, then you would want to have it more equal. But basically what it is now on the Friday night time slot, no matter if it's in syndication on my network or if it's on Sci-Fi, it's going to be pulling in the very marginal numbers. And it's basically ECW with an extra hour, so why should Vince McMahon treat it like Raw when it's more like ECW with an extra hour? So I think it's good to make him a feeder. I think it's good to put a belt on somebody the caliber of Jack Swagger and let him work programs with younger guys and with guys who aren't going to be in a main event picture on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And,
which means you need to get rid of another two-thirds of the Raw roster.
Oh, don't worry, that's coming.
Again,
I wouldn't be shocked
know.
If they moved to 3 hours, though, because of USA Network and Bonnie Hammer, which would be a suicide, in my opinion, but they've been pressuring WWE to go to 3 hours for Raw, 8 to 11, and if they do that, they won't be cutting back.
Nikki, you were going to say?
Not only will SmackDown be a feeder show, but SmackDown now opens the doors for a bunch of guys. Since you're talking about an overloaded main event on Raw, you have a main event in the building, not just, you know, all the call-ups. You've got Christian, who everybody whines about how he's, you know, he's never getting a break. Look where he is. He wants a shot at Swagger.
He's gonna get
this close.
He's gonna get the break.
Let me fucking finish. I'm sick of fucking getting interrupted every time I speak up on this show, and I don't want to listen to you guys shitting on this draft. I won't.
Goodbye.
You can kick me off if you want, but frankly, I want to finish what I want to say. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Christian, borderline main event, needs to be in the main event. Part of that was taken care of tonight on SmackDown. Big Show, full face turn, put back in the main event, something he hasn't done in 3 years because he's been putting other people over and working in tag teams. Jack Swagger, hot shot at the top of the card. A couple people are whining about this. He has the skills. He just needs to continue his working. Kofi Kingston, this close to the main event, got dropped down the card because of something that happened during his thing with the Orton storyline. Now he's on SmackDown where he can flourish. A main event picture is being built, just like it used to be in 2002 when Rey Mysterio first came, when Edge was on the cusp, when the Guerreros were together, when Angle was a main eventer, when Benoit was closing in on the main event. It's the same exact thing. Now, I will shut up for the rest of the show if you want, or you can kick me off now.
No, I want you to stay on the air.
I'm sick and tired of being interrupted. Thank you.
Where do we go from here?
Go on to the supplemental.
Let's bang our head on the wall. Let me just say this, guys, who's ever still here.
Yes.
Everybody.
If this show's going to be like this once Rob leaves, I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I'm sorry, Carl. Every time I've tried to speak tonight, I have been interrupted or talked over, and I'm not going to put up with it anymore.
I apologize.
Who was it that interrupted?
Sometimes Jason interrupts me. Sometimes Rob interrupts me. But this is why Trista left the show, because she couldn't get a word in edgewise either.
Hey, I can't either. I don't get mad about it. So.
Well, I put up with it since the show started. And there's only so many times that I'm going to put up with it. Yes, okay. Well, there are points where we'll talk all over each other. That's fine. But I'm sick of getting interrupted when I'm trying to make a point. Then my stuff gets lost during the show. I realize I am not the main host. I am not better than anybody else on the show. But I don't like being ignored. I don't like being talked over. I don't like being interrupted when I'm trying to make a point. So let us please move on. And if you'd like, I will be happy to hang up now. Because
stay on the phone, please.
Nah, stay.
Okay, I've completely fucked up the show. I realize that. But I had to say something before I just hung up and left.
No, you're good.
There's no need to worry about that. Jason's already left. So, let's move on.
Well, Nikki, you could have a new gimmick on the show, though. If you want to be able to speak, just go, excuse me.
No, I was going to, I
was just trying to make a bad Vicky Guerrero joke, sorry.
No, you're fine. Vicky is indeed my idol. I follow, excuse me, WWE. we were continuing with this draft issue.
We got past the Battle Royal and the three picks for Raw.
Let's get back on track here.
Yeah, we had a match between Jack Swagger and John Morrison, Raw's acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And
nope.
That was another great match.
And now, besides The Undertaker, Jack Swagger, everybody complained about him losing clean and non-title finishes. He's avenged two of those losses already. He lost to Randy Orton. He got his win back at Extreme Rules. He lost to John Morrison. He got his win back on a huge three-hour draft show. So Swagger, they built him back up pretty nicely, and I think that was nice to see coming out of Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm gonna make a comparison real quick. Sorry, Rob.
We'll finish the Raw show, then we'll get to hit the comparisons.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to the supplemental draft.
I was going to bring up the fact that Mysterio no sticks, but okay.
Yeah. That's where the shit hit the fan. Then we had Hornswoggle versus Dolph Ziggler.
Fail.
Why? It was silly, and it was cool, and it didn't affect Dolph Ziggler's character or career one whit.
No, because you got to spend
the
building out one job. We'll get to that in a second. But Hornswoggle wins Chris Jericho to Raw. So maybe Jason's theory kind of holds a little credence with this. Kind of holds a little credence is what I'm getting at. And that was the last. Oh, something I didn't want to remember. Earlier in the show, Sheamus cut a promo on Triple H, and I forgot to play this during. Sheamus cut a promo. Orton interrupts. Sheamus saying, "I want to be world champion. I should be number one contender. I won at Extreme Rules." Orton goes, "I should be number one contender." So Cena makes the match. There was no guest host this week, thank God.
Well, he tried to get a hold of Mel Kiper Jr., but he wouldn't.
Should I? No, I'll refrain.
So,
go ahead.
Don't.
I was just going to do the impression of him, that's all. Go ahead.
We did that impression last week, and
Yeah, I know, indeed.
I heard that.
Juventud Guerrero, a great value pick out of Tijuana State.
Yes. Horrible.
Next week, our guest host will be Nikki Haymon.
I wish. Oh, I wish.
You are the guest host of this show next week.
Huh?
I am taking a break from the show. You will be the host.
Okay. I hope it is not because of my previous words.
I just need a break every now and then, and next week sounds like a good time to have one.
All right.
Then Batista comes out and goes, "Duct tape, duct tape, new world rematch."
They is not happy.
Good lord.
Ooga ooga.
Ooga ooga is right. So what happens? It's made a triple threat. So we have a decent match. Well, decent as far as Randy Orton matches go. Sorry, DJ.
That's okay.
And then Randy Orton hits the RKO on Sheamus. But spear. Edge does the heel turn.
Which I don't understand.
Batista limps over. 1, 2. So now, for Over the Limit, we have John Cena versus Batista.
Oh boy, it's the John Cena Randy Orton of 2010.
If it's any consolation, it's probably going to be Batista's coup de grace.
Right.
We can only hope. My question out of all this is... Oh, go ahead, Nikki. Sorry.
No. And people were so happy to hear about their rematch after that incredible match they had back at SummerSlam 2008. Oh, how the tides turned so quickly.
My question out of this whole deal is, what do they do with Chris Jericho? You have Batista mired in a feud with Cena. You have, right now, Edge moving on to Randy Orton. You have Sheamus, and likely Triple H are going to continue their feud so Triple H can get his win back. Even though you already won, but that's beside the point. So is it Jericho and Morrison? Is that where we go from here? Or does Jericho recruit somebody to take on the Hart Dynasty? Or does he turn face? Dare I even say that? I have no idea.
No, he doesn't turn face. He's got a perfectly affable, capable guy on NXT that he's going to lead around and be his Sherpa and cohort.
Oh, and secondly, DJ, don't just cross off Triple H for a little bit. He's got neck issues and quad issues. We're not going to see him for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
And he's filming as well, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
so the one who's going to get lost in the shuffle is Sheamus.
Yeah.
Which is the real shame. Is out of the three recent contenders... In that match, he was the only one to beat Randy Orton legitimately in a match. Sure, it was by disqualification, but he won.
Mm-hmm.
He beat John Cena. Sure, it was in a tables match, but he won. He beat Triple H. Sure, he beat him up in the back, but he won. And then you have Batista, who lost to John Cena by tapping out at WrestleMania, lost to John Cena via duct tape at Extreme Rules.
Which is still one of the best finishes I've seen in a while.
Yeah, it is great. It was a great finish.
Duct tape for champions.
Red Green would be proud.
Keep your stick on the ice, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Adam Savage for guest GM.
No.
No?
Sig Hansen for guest GM.
Yeah, but for the duct tape, we start with Savage or Heinemann.
How about both?
Yeah, we could have both. No, bring the whole crew.
All right.
Bring the whole crew.
Gary Byron wrestling. Dreamy.
Smack.
Oh, funny sorry.
Yes.
Good breaking news to share.
All right.
Hit the music if you want.
Okay. No.
No. Not that one, sorry. Good evening. Breaking news out of Jim Ross's personal website. His future is revealed, and I'm going to quote the man he just posted on his blog. Here we go.
Ooh.
As I quote, "There is rampant speculation on the internet about my future. This is understandable as I've talked a great deal about it here on my blogs. Plus, it's provided various wrestling sites, etc., with some nice cannon fodder over the last few weeks. This matter is much more simple than many perceive. My WWE talent contract has ended after a 17-plus year run with the company. However, comma, I am still a WWE employee handling the same talent relations functions that I have executed for the company for the past few years, including since moving to Oklahoma. I simply do not have a talent contract, as WWE has no plans to utilize me as an on-air talent at this time. The WWE engaged in talks with me on Thursday of this week to discuss a new job description that would include what I am doing now, along with other talent relation-oriented matters. I am considering this offer, and I trust that a decision will be made soon regarding this opportunity. In the meantime, I am still interested in a variety of projects and opportunities." And he closes out with saying, "While there, some may feel that it is in their best interest that I do not remain in broadcasting, I do not share in that belief at this time," end quote.
So he stays in WWE, but he's not going to TNA to be a voice guy. He's going to be, what was that, co-head of talent relations? Is that what you said, Carl?
That's my feeling from what he's got up here.
Don't do it, JR. It's a trap.
Oh, jeez.
Well, if it helps to bring in more good talent. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Nikki.
I was going to say, they're just going to have him there to hit Laurinaitis alongside the head every time he looks at a wrong set of boobs.
As long as he replaces Laurinaitis, I would be happy, but I just think, I don't know. I think they'll defer more to Laurinaitis than Rosh. I think it's more just a position in name and not in activity. You know, allows him to remain on the payroll, keeps him away from other wrestling organizations. I don't like the move unless he's given full reign like he was during the Attitude Era, and I don't think they're going to do that. Now, one name that I did hear, and I think it was from you, Nikki, years ago, was that, and this is when Undertaker was in poor health, that he was going to retire and that was going to be his job, was going to be head of talent relations and replace Johnny Ace. And I always thought that would be a good place for him to go. Well, and that was up until Michelle McCool, because if anybody that is an advocate for her probably doesn't know much about wrestling. So,
well, and at the end of the day, it's been said that Taker was interested in a road agent position when he does finally leave the ring. So maybe he won't be in talent relations, but at least he'll tell some of these new kids how to make a match. And we
sounds
really
good to me. So let's move on to the supplemental draft.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to pull it up.
Which is to say SmackDown gets the shaft yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Say that all you want.
I mean, going to SmackDown is Chavo.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give
good
you,
worker.
Yeah.
Mm.
Go ahead, Carl.
What's that?
You have the list?
I'm trying to get to it. Let me see.
Okay.
Chavo was right. Yeah, that was the first one. Oh, here we go. Got it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, the first one was Kali and Singh got to Raw. Then we had Chavo to SmackDown. Cody Rhodes is going to SmackDown as well. The Hart Dynasty is going to Raw. Chris Masters to SmackDown. Ezekiel Jackson to Raw once he gets healed up. Goldust to Raw, Hornswoggle to SmackDown, Rosa Menendez to SmackDown, and finally MVP is going to SmackDown. Okay.
Don't forget Natalya is also going to Raw as well.
I said the Horde Dynasty.
Okay.
The whole Horde Dynasty.
So, out of all the people that SmackDown got, MVP.
Chavo.
Who's the best that they got? Is that the question?
Yeah.
I would say MVP because for one reason, it reunites him with Michael Hayes, and racist jokes aside, Michael Hayes, as a producer, is the only person in the WWE that has ever understood the MVP character, that's ever made the MVP character work. And when he was on SmackDown, his feuds with Matt Hardy and the like were phenomenal, and Chris Benoit. So I'd like to see him go heel. I'd like to see him get a run at the top of the card on SmackDown, and paired with Michael Hayes again, he could do some special things.
And you go back to the Cody Rhodes pick. That also, I mean, he's been trying to be groomed for the longest time to be that next top main event type character. And going back kind of to what Nikki was saying earlier, SmackDown's the brand for the next generation, so it makes sense to put Cody in there.
And it
gets him away from Ted DiBiase, and it gets him away from Randy Orton. Now, DiBiase can be on the same show as Orton because they're not going to be involved in the same storylines. You know, DiBiase's the up-and-comer. He'll be in the mid-card, but he'll be featured. Cody Rhodes, there wouldn't be enough room for him there, so he kind of fills the same role that DiBiase does, but on the blue brand. So that's a pretty nice pickup, I agree.
Yeah. I want to talk about, so for SmackDown, SmackDown rolled the board and got this.
Stop doing another way.
Wait a minute, no, isn't that TNA's whammy?
Oh, this is TNA's whammy after their ratings came out.
Stop it away.
This ought to do it.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
More on that in a moment.
0.5 for TNA.
And the replay show did better than the Monday show.
Mm-hmm.
A 0.6.
Yeah, 0.6.
Defeats the whole purpose being on Monday night.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a lot of people that didn't watch on Monday night and then, you know, catch up with it on Thursday, or if it's the same audience.
That's exactly what it is.
Getting it over again. Because I
go, Nick, had, go. What'd you say, Nikki?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you said something. Oh.
But if I did have something to say, it was the just a quick story on that. I went to I was on RVD Radio again this week, and commented that I watch. You know, a lot of people came on just to congratulate Rob, who blew up his phone. And I mentioned that, you know, when I watch it, I just wait till Thursday. And he seemed enormously cool with it. He's like, just catch it when you can. So, of course, he can be happy. He's the freaking champion. And I got to watch the first 10 minutes of the show where Hogan was standing in Rob's spotlight.
Of course. So, you guys ready to talk about some NXT?
Can we?
Yeah.
You gotta love NXT, right?
I do.
Well, I do
it was
too, in a train wreck way.
I'd like to turn it tough enough, but, you know.
Well.
Just saying, it was very interesting.
Yes, we had the, rookie selling programs out into the stands.
Also known as Don West wants his gimmick back.
Be dialing people.
So Skip Sheffield got first and hit this.
Stop at a whammy.
What it do?
Mm-hmm.
And then
Daniel Bryan
have...
is a communist, a dirty communist, and his pro should not be The Miz. It should be Nikolai Volkov.
Vintage. Yeah, Daniel Bryan rolled the board, got unfortunate, and hit this.
Stop it,
he was the one that threw the pie. Damn with capitalism! Bring him out! Yeah! To which Michael Cole... To which Michael Cole berated him.
Again, still yet.
Fun times.
Yep. Mm-hmm. David Otunga won.
That's because he enlisted help. That's cheating.
It's smart!
It's slave labor.
I read a fan report that said that basically Justin Gabriel actually won. He did sell more merch, but they kind of covered it up because they wanted to push the angle that Otunga was going to win the challenge and get R-Truth. So.
Yeah, pretty much. And they recalculated his numbers.
Did they do that? I missed that.
Yeah, they initially said he had like $300 some odd, then they knocked it down to like $200.
Well,
the $300 figure was probably correct then.
Yeah, and Gabriel himself kind of covered it by saying, all the American money looks the same to me, so. People could be giving him $5 for every one of his programs.
There you go.
It could be a Bahama dollar.
Oh, jeez.
Which I have.
By the way.
I have one, by the way.
By the way, speaking of Justin Gabriel, and I didn't know if you were going to get to this or not, but I wanted to bring it up because in case nobody brought it up. When CM Punk said, what's Justin Gabriel going to learn from Matt Hardy as his pro? How to use Facebook and Twitter? I about crap my pants.
That was pretty good.
Line of the year.
I love how they put over Daniel Bryan.
That is something that's starting to piss me off every time I hear Cole speak about it.
Well, it's
his stick, but he's looking more like a fucking tool every damn week.
Looking like? I thought we were pretty there.
Well, didn't Josh Matthews pretty much call Michael Cole the whole toolbox?
Yes.
Pretty much. Yes.
The fun of this is the fact that I wonder if Vince is deliberately making to say this is probably what Joe Casual fan really thinks of Daniel Bryan, and maybe they do, and maybe Joe Casual fan does. But here's a guy who, when he was lacing up his boots for the first time, this was just getting started on Road Rules, Real World. Which one did he start on?
It was Real World.
Real World.
Season
yeah.
3, San Francisco.
Oh, boy.
Don't ask me how I know that one.
Yep.
Wait, what?
Not that.
Oh, boy.
Wait, what was that?
You're going to want to go to your AIM after the show.
I always thought Miz was on Back to New York, season 10. I don't know why I know that.
Yeah, that's what he was on.
What I was going to say, I know somebody was complaining about the way they're treating Daniel Bryan. Just bide your time. We're going to get a Batista-level turn payoff when he finally gets his hands on the Miz and could very well just walk off with the U.S. title.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
Exactly.
I hope that's what they're going to get to. Because, I mean, I had that in the back of my head when they started this losing streak, but I figured that they would have at least stopped it by an hour, at least – put him in events with Jericho or Christian and let him go 10 minutes and look good instead of losing in 1 minute at the end of the show to Darren Young. I mean, they can keep tearing him apart. But even if it gets to the point where he loses a bunch of matches in a row and he's like 0-15, even if he beats The Miz and wins the U.S. title, how much credibility is he going to have after that? I'm just afraid they're going to ruin the payoff.
Term and Barry Horowitz. Only without the Barry Horowitz happy story at the end.
Yeah. Well, then we had the Miz's look, to which he hit this.
Stop it. Oh.
Yes.
You see, whammies make the whole world fun.
Yes, they do.
That's the first one I actually understood.
Hmm.
You gotta. You know what, Nikki? When I'm over there in August, I gotta burn you a DVD full of Pressure Luck, or we could just go on YouTube and watch some Pressure Luck episodes.
Either way.
Yeah.
I just. The audio is real bad, so I can't. Some of them I can't. I don't understand.
Maybe I should have turned them down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, either way, it was quite interesting to say the least. Did anybody watch SmackDown?
No.
I did.
Parts of it, towards the end.
Oh. Forget it. We got to talk to Stream Rules for the next 4 minutes.
Pick'ems, yes.
I was asleep for half the show. Earlier.
It wasn't that good of a pay-per-view, really.
No.
Mm.
But, well, we do have one last whammy, and sadly, Triple H rolled the board.
Stop. Uh-oh.
Okay, that's just screwed up.
It's a sledgehammer.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm, that's what it was.
So as I wait for the Extreme Rules Pick'em scores to come in...
I'm not worrying it up. I failed. Big time.
No, I'm waiting for Excel to pop up because I got the scores right in front of me.
Oh, you use Excel. Very nice. Hmm.
Hit me with the digits.
That's something I need to start doing again, using spreadsheets for stuff.
Yeah,
when I head up to Chicago, like, what was that?
Sorry, I work with Excel all day, and my eyes cross.
Okay.
Oh, gee, thanks.
So, Ray versus Punk in the hair match. Guess who wins?
Punk wins.
Yes, and who got that one wrong?
Not me.
Not me.
Raise
oh, hi, DJ.
Oh, hi there.
I always wanted to do a Tommy Wiseau impersonation on this show. Oh, hi, DJ. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, okay. Rob.
Oh, hi.
All right. Oh, hi, yo.
Oh.
Oh, good Lord.
All right, so now we get to the Crime Time blow-off match.
Yes.
I think everybody got
yes.
that one wrong.
Nope. Jim and Carl took a half point, and only one person got that right.
You?
Yep.
Well,
you're the effing host.
Of course.
For now, anyway.
I just wish I could be effing someone in the next few minutes. Or can you
No.
Moving on, quickly.
Swagger versus Thornton. Swagger wins. VRM, Nikki, Jim, and Carl fail.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to Triple H versus Sheamus.
That is your line of the night, by the
yep.
way.
Sheamus wins, so Nikki, DJ, Jim, Typho, and Jason get the point.
Mm-hmm.
Divas match. Beth and Michelle McCool, me and Nikki said, fuck this match.
Smart.
I should have won as well.
But I'm very happy with the result.
Beth wins.
Yay, Beth.
For now.
Yeah, for now. I'll just skip the rest because we all know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except for DJ, who failed in the Cena-Batista match.
Looks like Batista's
still around, though. It could have happened. It could have happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
No, we all failed because Duck Tip won.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So the co-holders of the championship belt are Typho and Jason. Yay!
Yay!
I go back
and
to...
And so now that ends a tumultuous show. Remember
join us next week as we find out who is the baby daddy as the world turns. No, I'm sorry.
Keep those large and letters coming.
As I was saying, Nikki Heyman hosts next week.
All right.
I will be probably playing some Mega Man 4.
Mew.
And some other games and watch some other DVDs, I guess. What can I say? This has been a weird show. See you next week.
Bye. Sorry for that.
You went weird. I did the whole show naked.
Oh,
oh, good night, everybody.
Okay, it's going to be another year since DJ steps into the show. That's an image I don't want in my head.
I want my Bobby.
Good night.